areas, and the first is Acts 27 and verse 31, as we continue talking about abiding in the stewardship. The second is 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2. Acts chapter 27 is what we'll read first, and then we'll jump over to 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Again, still our theme all year is abide in the ship. This month we're talking about abiding in the stewardship, and that is our giving, amen. And this month we're looking at a twofold process, stewardship of our tithes and offerings, and then stewardship of the gospel through our missions program, amen. So looking forward to those two areas throughout the remainder of this year. Abide in the ship, Acts 27, 31 and 32 are the two verses that we will read there first, then go over to 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. And read with me starting in Acts 27 and verse 31. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Again, our encouragement is whatever boat it is or whatever ship it is that God would have you to be in, make sure you continue to abide in that ship. The stewardship is one of those very, very important ships that God would have us to continuously abide in throughout our Christian walk and life. And so we did say this, be in the relationship first. And that makes the stewardship a whole lot easier. Amen. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. So let's flip over there. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. And it says, "Let a man so account of..." Okay, y'all read with me here. Amen. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Amen. So we're going to be a steward and we're going to be in the stewardship. God wants us to be faithful. Amen. By the way, he is faithful that promised us salvation. And he expects us to be faithful in stewardship. And we talked about stewardship is a one who manages another's property, finances, or other affairs. The Strong's Concordance gives this definition. A steward is a house distributor, a manager or overseer, an employee in that capacity, or it could be a preacher of the gospel, or even a governor. Amen. In the Bible, a steward was a man employed in great families to manage the domestic concerns, superintend the other servants, collect the rents or income, and keep accounts, much like Joseph did. And by the way, each one of us here today is a steward of something that God has given to us. Amen. And God expects us to be faithful in that which he has given to us. So as we listen to the message this morning, continue to ask God, what would you have me to do as I abide in the stewardship? Father, bless now this morning in the message. Lord, anoint the lips of this preacher, Lord, and give me what I need by the Holy Spirit's power. And then, Lord, anoint the ears of the hearers here that they may hear exactly what it is that they need to hear today, Lord, that we may be responsible stewards of the gifts of God. And Lord, help us to remember what it is that you've done for us first and foremost. You died on the cross, buried, and risen again the third day for our sins, that we might have eternal life. And as we, Lord, reciprocate you out of a heart of love and not a heart of law. Help us to give cheerfully, Lord, to thee because we love you. Lord, maybe there's one today that's never been born again. That man, that woman, that boy or girl needs to be saved today. They need to acknowledge Jesus Christ as their Savior, repent of their sins. Lord, receive Christ today and be gloriously born again. Thank you for loving us. Lord, meet our need. Again, help Brother Neil down at Silver City. And Lord, help us to hear today and then apply what we have heard. Bless down the message and song and the sermon. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Miss Tony's got our song this morning.
High upon The sun is shining bright. My heart is filled with gladness here above the cares of life. But I've just come through the valley of trouble, fear, and pain. It was there I came to know my God enough to stand and say, God is good. This road of life has led you to a valley of defeat. You wonder if the Father has heard your desperate plea. There is hope place where tears of sorrow dwell. Can't you hear him gently whispering, I'm here and all is well. Even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, he is faithful and true. He is good.
Amen. Thank you, Antoinette. Even in the valley, God is good. And by the way, throughout the year, you may find yourself in a valley, in one of these ships, amen, and God is still good in the valley, amen. I'm so glad that the God of the hills is the God of the valleys as well, amen. So no matter what it is that happens in our lives, God is in control, and he is sovereign, so praise God for that. Well, we're continuing in the stewardship, and I did mention this earlier. We said that the basic thing that needs to happen is I've got to be in the relationship. That means I've got to be born again. I've got to have the relationship with Christ. I've got to be his child. Because if I'm not his child, giving is a difficult process at best. Amen. And you ever notice how when you go to give a stranger money, you don't pour out your wallet to the stranger? Amen. But when it comes to your child, you don't mind pouring out the wallet to your own, amen, and giving them something. And so it is in the relationship, when we are born again, out of a heart of love, we should want to give back to God. Now, think about it. When you first married your sweetheart, Valentine's Day is coming up, amen. When you first married your sweetheart, you would give the world for your sweetheart, would you not, amen? You would have given them anything if they asked for it, if you could afford it, amen? And so it is when we got saved and we got that relationship with God, we should, out of a heart of joy, want to give to God, amen? Now think about that. How many people don't want to give to God when they get saved, amen? That's a rare occasion. The average person, when they get saved, are so excited that God took away their sin that they want to give. Now, they don't know how to give. Oftentimes, they don't know how to give, but they want to give. Y'all with me? Amen. Oftentimes it's difficult. We don't know what to give and we don't know how to give because oftentimes we weren't raised in church to know the tithe. Amen. But when we get something as life changing as salvation, we want to give. We want to give. And then when we learn how to properly do it, we think, well, praise God, I can do this. And when you understand the process, that makes it even that much sweeter that God blesses a cheerful giver. And God blesses when we tithe. Today we're going to be talking about the dividends of the tithe. Then tonight we're going to be talking about the duty of the tithe. That preacher, why is that? Because we've already talked about the other things. Amen. Notice that passage there, 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2. It says, let a man so account of us, Paul is speaking here, as of the ministers of Christ. He says, we're servants of Christ and stewards or managers of the mysteries of God. And so he says, we have the managerial capability of the mysteries of God or what God gave to us that's not been revealed to certain peoples. And he says, moreover, it's required in stewards or the manager that a man or woman, whoever it is, be found faithful. By the way, everything that you and I have, God has given to us. Amen. And as a result of that, God gives back to us. And that's the process we're going to look at today. G2, come here for a second. G2 normally goes to these teen activities, and he's going to be going to one on Friday. Occasionally, when they go to one, Josiah just had a party. I went into my wallet and I said, now you and Josh are going to be going to the party over there. I said, I'm going to give you $20. And I said, I want you to buy you guys some food. Now, he knows that he can't spend the whole $20 on food. Amen. You know that, right? Amen. And so when I give him money, I will always say this. Bring me back the what?
Money.
Change. I'll say, spend this much and bring me back the change. What have I done? I've given to him. Now, his job is to do what? Give back to me what I asked him to give me back. Last time he went, they spent $10, five for Joshua and five for him. And he gave me back what? He gave me back $10. Okay. Okay, give my 20 back then. And so when we tithe, God has already given to us. And so I gave to Gregory. His job now then is to give back out of that which I gave him. Folks, that's as simple as it is. God has blessed us. He's given. Did you work for that money I gave you? Did you work for it? You did not. Stop it. And out of his own free heart, I gave to him. And then he brought me back the change, and he's faithful to bring me back the change. And he always does that. I'll give him the money. I'll say, all right, spend this much money and give me back the rest. God has given us 100% of what we have. And God has said, give me back what? 10%. Now, with the money that I gave him, that I tell him how to spend it. Yes, I say, get you something to eat. Question, can we take the 90% that we have and do whatever we want to do with it? You could, but you shouldn't. You should be a wise steward. If I give him 20 and say, go buy you something to eat, should he buy a bunch of lollipops and candy and cotton candy? No. Joshua might. Should he go out and buy a bunch of ho-hos and popsicles? No. He should get him something nutritional that's going to sustain him until he gets back home. Amen. If I find out he bought $10 worth of cotton candy, guess what he will not get next time? Money. He'll get a bag sack lunch. Amen. Thanks, G2. Mom will pack his lunch next time. Give him a sack lunch. Amen. But what am I saying here? That's the process basically of the tithe. God gives to us, and then God says, now I want you to give back to me out of that which I gave you. Amen. And so we are to be stewards, and we're to be wise stewards in that which is God has given us. Amen. And by the way, it's the same process works. Brother Gary, turn that light off back there. The process of lights is this. Who has the electricity? The electric company, right? Turn it on. And we pay the electric company to give us electricity. And when we pay them money, guess what they do? They flip a switch and they allow us to get some electricity so that we can have lights. But guess what happens if we don't pay our electricity bill? They flip that switch off, and guess what we don't get?
Electricity.
And as a result, we have cut off the blessings because we didn't pay what we should have paid. By the way, when it comes to the tithe, you pay the tithe.
Yes, sir.
You owe that to God. Why? He gave you 100%. He said, no, I want 10% back. Amen. Y'all with me?
Amen.
All right. It's as simple as that. All right, Brother Gary, turn the lights back on. By the way, when you turn your gas on, that's what you're saying. I will pay for the gas. And they say, I will turn it on. By the way, many people cut off blessings because they don't pay the tithe. Amen. Let's go over to Malachi chapter 3. I'll give you the update where we have been so far. And then we're going to talk about Malachi chapter 3. Say, preacher, that's Old Testament. That's why I need to bring you up to date. Amen. Of what we talked about over the past week. And when you look at this area here of stewardship, the local church has this process called the tithe. Some folks say it's Old Testament. Some folks say we shouldn't give. Some folks say put a bag at the back. Amen. But God said, bring the tithe into the storehouse. Amen. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 8 says this. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. Notice I said on there, there's a plural there, not just tithe, tithes. That means there were several different types of tithes that they were supposed to bring in. And it says, and offerings. That means there were several types of offerings they were supposed to bring in. And as a result, he said, verse 9, ye are what? Cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. What's the curse if we don't pay our light bill? They turn electricity off. What's the curse if we don't pay our gas bill? They turn the gas off. What's the curse if we don't pay our water bill? What if we don't pay our trash bill?
They don't pick it up.
They don't pick it up, amen. They'll come and take your trash can from you, amen. If you don't pay your bills, you get the privileges taken off, amen. If you don't pay your taxes this year, what's going to happen? Eventually. They're going to catch up with you. Eventually, Uncle Sam will catch up with you to get what belongs to him. Amen. Now, is God greater than Uncle Sam? Is God greater than the gas company, TEP, the water company? Yes, yes, and yes. If you don't show up to work, what's going to happen? You're going to get fired. Why? There's a cause and effect, amen. God told Israel, he said, look, there's a cause and effect. I've given you everything. It's already assumed that God has given them the ability to make an increase. And so with that increase, God says, my assumption is right. You had an increase. Now I want you to give me 10% of your increase. Anything wrong with that? Nothing wrong with that at all. Amen. And so he says, will a man rob God? Question. He said, but yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? Question. He said, in tithes and offerings. He says, and so as a result, you're cursed with a curse. You've robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10, he says, bring ye all the tithes, notice that plural, into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I would not open you the windows of heaven, pour ye out a blessing that there should not be room enough to receive it. So God said, look, Israel, there's a relationship that I have with you. When we bought you out of Exodus, I brought you to Mount Sinai and I said, I will be your God. You will be my people. You said, amen and amen. As a result, I gave you some rules and I said, I want you to live by these rules. You said, amen and amen. And I said, I'll take care of you. Amen and amen. He says, so somewhere along the line, you guys have forgotten one of these rules, which was tithes and offering. Do we have a relationship? Yes. Should you do this? Yes. But you've not done that. And that's the dilemma. By the way, do we have a relationship with God? Yes, through salvation. Did we pay for salvation? No, we didn't. Did Israel pay for their relationship that God had? No, they didn't. God chose them. Amen. By the way, if you're saved here today, God chose you. Don't you feel special? Amen. God chose you. Out of all the billions of people in the world he could have chosen, he chose you and he chose me. Praise God. You are special. And as a result of that, I reciprocate back to God and say, God, because you love me so much. And you put Jesus on the cross and you paid for my sins and you love me because you did all that. The least I can do is give you 10%. The least I can do. And that's what this is all about. Israel didn't do that. And there was a problem.
But if they were to do that, there's some dividends that were involved in that. Amen. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So where do we come from? We talked about the dilemma and the difficulties prior to tithing. Some people say they can't tithe. They have all kinds of reasons and excuses. We talked about that. Then we talked about the definition of the tithe. It is 1/10 or 10% or $1 out of 10 or 1 penny out of 10. Amen. It is very, very easy. By the way, do the rich tithe more than the poor? No. A tithe is a tithe. 10% is 10%. Their amount just may be bigger because they're making more. Yours may be smaller because you're making less. Amen. Then we talked about not just the definition, but then the defense of the tithe. Amen. And we saw that tithing was practiced before the law. We saw that Adam and Eve were taught the principle of tithing before the law back in Genesis chapter number 2 and number 3. Then we saw this. Abraham tithed before the law by principle, before the law. Then we saw number 3, Jacob tithed before the law by principle as well. But then we went down to Malachi. We saw the tithing was practiced during the law in Malachi 3:10. Then we saw tithing was practiced after the law in the New Testament. Jesus approved of the tithe. And so we saw that principle because some folks say, well, it's Old Testament. By the way, the law came in Exodus. So what did the people do in Genesis? They tithe too. Amen. And you find that principle. So now we're going to look at the dividends of the tithe. And then tonight we'll look at the duty of the tithe, the dividends of the tithe. By the way, does it pay to tithe?
Yes.
Does it hurt to not tithe?
Yes.
If a person doesn't know they should tithe and they don't tithe, does it still hurt them? I'll give you an illustration. You go to Turkey and you get a car and you start driving and you break a traffic law. Are you still guilty of their laws?
Yes, you are.
Yes, but you didn't know their law, did you?
Right. No, you didn't.
But you're still guilty. Why? Because you're on their roads driving. You're guilty and subject to their law. Even if you don't know you should tithe and you don't tithe, you're still not going to be blessed the way you could if you did tithe. Amen.
Wow.
I remember I tried that in Nevada. I passed, and I told you all this before, they got the double lines there. What does that mean? No passing. I passed.
Oh, no.
Next thing I know, I heard, woo. And the cop said, you know that you passed on a single, the double white line back there? And you know what ignorantly I said? I'm from out of state.
Ah. Oh, yeah.
And you know what the cop told me? It's the same in all states.
Oh, there you go. Oh, boy.
I thought, well, I tried.
Hey,
he said, I'm going to have to give you a citation. I said, is that the same as a ticket? He kind of looked at me like, you are so dumb. So guess what I got in the mail several weeks later? A citation. And I had to pay money. I did. But I'm from out of state. Doesn't matter. But God, I don't know I should tithe. Doesn't matter. Amen. That's the process of discipleship. That'll teach you about tithing, amen. All right, so a person should tithe, amen. So the dividends, it does pay to tithe, amen. The dividends of the tithe. Notice down here, notice up verse 7, verse number 7. It says, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances. In other words, God said, you knew about this, so they're not ignorant. And have not kept them. He said, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? He said, well, let me give you just one specific. And he started talking about the tithe down there. Amen. God has already given to us, and now he wants us to give the tithe out of that which he has given us. Then he turns around and gives back to us again. You know what really hurts? Now, parents, I don't know if you've had this before. You shower your children with all kind of stuff. And then they have some stuff. And you say, can I have some? And they don't want to give you any of their stuff.
Yeah. Yes,
Doesn't that hurt your heart when a child does that? After all you've given to them, especially if you pull out, oh, let me have this. Can I have a piece? Where's your mind? You think, you wouldn't have that if I didn't give it to you. Give it all back. That's what you want to say sometimes, amen. But doesn't that hurt your heart when a child does that? And when you have given them everything and you ask for, you know, they got a big bag of popcorn. Can I have a kernel? I want to taste it. No. A kernel? What's it going to hurt? They get a big bag of those orange Fritos. No, what are those things called? Cheetos. Can I have a Cheeto? I only have a bag full. What is one going to hurt if you give it to me? That's how some people do with the tithe. God gives them all this, and God says, give me back 10%. All I got is this bag full of money. And I got plans for it. Well, you should have planned for the tithe. Amen. Hey, by the way, children, anytime your parents ask you for something, you should give it up. Because you wouldn't have anything if they didn't give it to you. Come on, some of you kids better say amen. The adults are the only ones saying amen. Come on, kids, don't be selfish, amen. Hey, stingy as a child, you be stingy as an adult, amen. Start learning the principle of giving now, amen, and it won't hurt later. By the way, parents, teach your children to tithe now. Otherwise, they're going to have a heartache later on when they get a little bit more money and they have to start tithing off of that. Ooh, I'm going to give them 10%, but I made all this. You wouldn't have made anything if God didn't give you strength to get a job, amen. And so start teaching them stewardship now that they should tithe. They can give to missions. They can be wise stewards of what they have. Otherwise, they're going to be some Scrooges, amen. And then when it comes time to get that little Cheeto, they're not going to give that up either, amen. So let's look at a few things here about this area here. A few principles about God's program of stewardship that should apply to us. Amen. And by the way, the blessings are both individual and corporate, physical as well as spiritual. What do I mean by that? The individual will be blessed, but also the family will be blessed. The individual will be blessed, but the church will be blessed. They will be not just physical blessings. Amen. There will be spiritual blessings that God will do for you. Amen. And let's notice, first of all, the practice of the tithe. The practice. Notice verse number 10 down there. He says, bring ye how much of the tithe? All the tithe into the storehouse. In order to get the dividends of the tithe, it must be practiced first. It's our job to bring what belongs to God. By the way, God does not want to take the tithes from you. Amen. Unlike Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam can't trust people to pay their taxes. Y'all looking at me like that. Why do you think they take it from you? If it was up to you to pay your taxes, would you do it? Most of you probably wouldn't. There would always be somebody, I don't owe that much for Medicare and Social Security. I don't even like the Arizona tax. I didn't vote on that. They ain't getting my money. That's why they take it from you, because they know they can't trust you to give it to them. You're not going to give it to the state. You're not going to give it to the feds. Amen. You're not going to give it to Social Security. You're not going to give it to Medicare. Well, I didn't pay for this increase of the minimum wage. And so why should I have to? There we go. The government says we're not going to even ask you. We're just going to take it from you. So whether you didn't vote on it or not, guess what? You go into the store and buy something, you got tax coming. Amen. Well, it costs 99 cents. Put on that tax. Now it's $1.07, amen, or whatever it is. Hey, we don't like it. What am I saying? God says, bring ye. God should have said, I'll just take it from you. But he said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, amen. The storehouse means depository or place where it goes, amen. By the way, this should be a regular and consistent practice on our part. Bring or come with the tithe. We have the men challenging you every Sunday. Why? So that you understand to give systematically, to give correctly, to give consistently, and to know that God blesses a giver. Sir's challenge this morning, talking about not so much the gift, but the giver. By the way, if your heart's right, you won't have a problem with giving. If my relationship with God is right, I won't have a problem with giving. If my relationship is right with my wife, I won't have a problem giving to her. My relationship is right with my parents, I won't have a problem giving to them. My relationship right with my children, I don't have a problem giving to them. Y'all follow me? But when I got a problem with somebody, if I got a problem with God, I'm not so happy to give. But it should be a consistent thing. He said, a contrite heart. I love God. And notice what he's given to me. I'm humble before him because I know I wouldn't have anything, God, if it wasn't for you. By the way, that's the king speaking like that. King David. Wow. So the practice, he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Bring or come with it. Then notice the provisions of it. Amen. The reason is this, that there may be meat in mine house. So there's a purpose behind this. He says that there may be meat in mine house. Amen. Or food. In the Old Testament, God wanted to make sure his ministers were provided for. Amen. Things did not change when it came to the New Testament. Ministers still need to be provided for. And so it is today as well. Amen. By the way, you get paid for your job, amen. Ministers get paid for their job, amen, when they're employed in the business of the house of God. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's go over there real quick, show you this New Testament principle here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 13. Paul here is talking about the ministry here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And notice what he says down here. Let's go up to verse number 6. Because the church at Corinth had questioned Paul's apostleship, and they question his authority to receive support. And notice what he says down here in verse number 6. Or I only and Barnabas have not we power to forbear working? Or he said, notice this, verse 7. Who goeth a warfare anytime at his own charges? In layman's terms, where my active duty at? Brother Ponte, he's out in the foyer, amen. Pastor White, in layman's terms, did you have to pay to go TDY? No. Daniel, did you have to pay to go TDY? No. Brother Serge, did you have to pay to go TDY? No. When I went to Italy on TDY for 3 months, they put me up in a hotel. Guess who paid for that? The military did. Why? They sent me there. And I bought my wife there. Hey. I'm in a hotel by myself. I'm not washing dishes, neither is she. Amen. Says, who goeth to warfare at any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? He said, you plant a garden. Aren't you going to eat the fruit? Or who feedeth the flock? I like Pastor White said, hey, they got the cows out there. They get to drink the milk. Amen. He says, or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. So in other words, he's saying, if you're using an ox or an animal for your service, are you going to muzzle his mouth and not feed him? Guess what's going to happen to the animal? He's going to die. And guess what's going to happen to your increase? It'll be decrease. Amen. And so he says, doth God take care for oxen, or saith he it altogether for our sakes? He says, for our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we should reap your carnal things? Here, Paul is giving his defense here. He says, if others are be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? He said, if others are doing this, Corinth, shouldn't we rather be getting some support from you? He said, nevertheless, we have not used this power. Paul said, we didn't ask you for anything, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. You may think we're trying to get your money. Paul said, and it's not about that. He said, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? Question mark. In other words, if I work in the temple, guess what I live off of? The temple support. He says down there, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar, or eat of those things off the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should what? Live of the gospel. He said, if that's what you do for a living, that's going to be your mainstay. That's going to be your bread and butter. That's going to be your source of pay. And so when you look at the provisions of the tithe, God said in Malachi, it's that there may be meat in mine house. That principle is carried all the way into the New Testament. So go back to Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10 again. So the practice of the tithe, he said, bring all the tithes in the storehouse. The provision of the tithe, the reason, he said, there may be meat in mine house. It's the same reason today. Then notice the proving of the tithe. The proving of the tithe, chapter 3, verse 10. Notice what he says down there. and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. God wants to prove, test, or try us to see if we will do what he said he would do. By the way, God can't lie. Amen. God can't lie. Prove him or test him with a tithe. Just be sure you're consistent in what you're doing. This is what people normally do. Offering tray comes along. They'll throw in their tithe. And they'll tithe one Sunday. And they'll wait. I didn't get no blessing this week. I ain't tithing no more. Then they'll wait another month or two. Then they'll tithe again. I didn't get no blessing this week either. See, God's word is not true. How much tithe did God say to bring in? All the time. And so every time I get an increase, then I should be tithing. By the way, this is a $10,000 bill. A fake one. But that's what some people do. They say, well, let me wait for the blessing. Is that how it goes? No. That's like saying, okay, I'm going to feed my son today. Yeah. He's 2 weeks old. I feed him. He's not an adult yet. I'm not feeding you anymore. It's the same. We expect a result right away. And God doesn't work that way. It's a process. When you feed your child, what do? You nourish them, you enjoy them, and you continue to feed them. And what happens when you feed them eventually? They can start washing dishes. Amen. Look, they can start doing some chores. Amen. Hey, but if I just feed them when they're 1 week old and I expect them to do something, I stop feeding them, they die. What am I saying? If we don't continue and consistently tithe, God says that's not what I'm talking about. You've got to prove me on a continual and a regular basis. By the way, every time you take a deep breath, you know what you're doing? You're proving God. If he'll give you the next breath, amen. By the way, one day the breath is going to stop. Amen. We're going to go to glory. Amen. You won't have a chance to tithe. Amen. By the way, sowing and reaping, you sow what you reap and you reap what you sow. Amen. But not only do we have the provisions of the tithe, he said, there may be meat in mine house, and the proving of the tithe. He said, prove me now, here would say the Lord of hosts. Amen. And by the way, I like the wording of the way it says. He says, prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts. You know what that's literally saying? Prove me or test me here right now with this tithe. Put it in there, and I want you to prove me. Test me right now with that and see if I don't do something about it. But it's got to be consistent. It can't be one time. It's got to be consistent. Prove me now, amen. Not only just the proving of the tithe, but the promise of the tithe. Notice what he says down there. If I will not open you the windows of heaven, that's the rest of it, amen. If I'm consistently tithing, then the promise is, see if I will not open you the windows of heaven, amen. By the way, the Bible talks about in the days of Noah that the windows of heaven were what? Guess what came out? Rain. Guess how much came out? A lot. A lot. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of financial prosperity? You'd be like Joel Osteen. No, I'm just joking. You won't be like him, amen. What I'm saying is God will make sure you have what you need. He's going to open the windows of heaven. He did it once before physically with rain. Guess what? He can do it again financially with prosperity for you to equate to you what you need. Not what you want, but what you need. He said down there, I will not open. The promise God gives is that he will open the windows of heaven. Amen. Or the windows of blessing for you and I. Open means to open wide or unstop. Amen. How many of y'all ever had a stopped up sink before? Nothing can get down. On top of that, everything begins to come back up that's down there. From the point of the stoppage, everything begins to come back up. Don't you hate that? And all that stuff starts, you'd be like, I don't like that. Our garbage disposal got stopped up the other day. And everything that was down there, every time we turned it on, started coming back up. And I thought, what in the world? I got the old-fashioned plunger out. Stuff's going everywhere. But guess what happened? It all went down. Guess what? You and I can stop the blessings of God. He can shut that window back up. He can stop that thing up, and you won't get it. Be like dry cracker juice. You ever had cracker juice? It's the same as powdered milk. You know what you need? Some water. Amen. Cracker juice is as bad as powdered milk. It's as bad as the Kool-Aid with no water. It's bad stuff. He says, see if I will open the windows. I'll unstop the windows of heaven. He says, if the practice is there, if you bring the tithe, the provisions, if they're there, that there may be meat in mine house, if you prove me with the tithe. He said, prove me now, he would say, Lord. The promise of the tithe is, he said, see if I will not open you the windows of heaven. I'll unstop the sink. I'll unstop this thing. I'll make the blessings come to you. I'll make sure that they're there. Amen. By the way, if you think you're blessed now, and you're not tithing, think about how it could be if you tithe.
Here we go, Pastor. Here we go.
You say, well, preacher, I'm getting blessed and I don't tithe. Oh, the windows of heaven. It was enough water to float that ark for a whole bunch of days. Think of how you could be blessed if you started. Amen. There are great things waiting for the tither. By the way, some of us get to the point where we get used to the stopped up sink. And we just go use another sink. I'm not going to stop, you know. And then the water goes down slowly. It trickles down. Then we go use the sink again. It fills right back up. We go use another sink. And it'll go down. And we get content with that. And we won't do anything about it. But you know what we ought to do right away? Do something about it. Do something about it. Now, normally what clogs up the sink in the bathroom is hair. Normally it's not my hair. But it does clog that up. Occasionally, a toothbrush or something big will fall in there and clog it up, like earrings or something like that. I don't wear earrings. No, I'm picking at my wife. Amen. But what happens is, he says, I'll open you the windows of heaven. There's a promise of the tithe. But then notice this, there's a plentifulness of the tithe. We're talking about the dividends of the tithe, amen. The plentifulness of the tithe. He says, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Pour means to empty out, amen. It means to take and just turn it upside down and empty it all out and hit it in and get all the stuff out of there, amen. Get it all out. One of the things that gets my goat, I'm from a family, we conserved everything. Sometimes the children will go into the cupboard and they'll use most of the peanut butter. And then when it's not all gone, the smart thing to do if you're a good steward is to get the spatula and get all the peanut butter out. But sometimes they'll go and get a new peanut butter and put the old one back in there and wait for dad to get the spatula since he's the steward. And then they'll get down to the second one and they won't get that peanut butter out either. And then they'll put a second one up in there and wait for dad to get the spatula and the second one too. And they'll get a new one out. There's some stuff in here still. Look, there's enough in here for 5 sandwiches. Well, Dad, you eat it then. I'm like, no, y'all are going to eat this. What am I saying here? Plentifulness of the tithe. Pour you out a blessing that there should not be room enough to receive it. Amen. When you pour it out, it keeps coming and coming. I like to get every inch of it out of my wife, bless her heart. The other day, Gregory liked creamy Caesar dressing. And we're at the bottom of the Caesar, so she put a little bit of water in it to make it, you know, stretch it, get all the sediments out of there, and pour it out. And Greg says, this is water. It's not Caesar dressing. This is water dressing. Amen. We're trying to conserve here, son. I'm trying to teach you to be wise. Amen. Daddy will eat it then. Amen. Bless your heart. Amen. So, trying to learn how to be a wise steward. And then I'll put vinegar in it and swish it around. And I'm like, now you made it worse. You put vinegar in there. You go to some of the finest restaurants, man, it's your vinegar and oil, man. That's delicatessen there. Come on up. They're like, hey, that's a delicacy. Vinegar. Can't even stand the smell of it. What am I saying? We need to pour it all out. God wants to pour it all out on us. But then notice the power of the tithe. Notice down there, verse number 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. The power of the tithe. Malachi is saying, you know, there's some dividends involved. If you practice it, if you bring the tithe in, and you bring those provisions in the tithe, that they may meet in mine house, know what the purpose is, the proving of the tithe. He says, prove me now, hear what saith the Lord of hosts. The promise of the tithe. He said, I will not open the windows of heaven. He said, if you do this, don't worry. I got you covered. The plentifulness of the tithe. He said, and I'll pour you out a blessing. He said, you won't have room enough to receive it. You will have to do something with it. Amen. But then the power. He says, and I'll rebuke the devourer. God says, I'll do something for you. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He says, I'll do this for you. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. He said, all that agriculture that you're getting to give to me, a tenth of that. I'll make sure that the devourer doesn't destroy that. Neither shall the vine of shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. He'll say, I'll make sure that these pestilence and these things that will get to your crops won't destroy them. They won't corrupt them. The power of the tithe will move God to hold back the devourer. And the devourer means that which eats up or consumes. They lived in an agricultural society back then, and they were dependent on their crops. And God said, I will keep them at bay. He says, but if you don't, I'm under no obligation to keep them at bay. But if you do, then it's my word at stake here. And I said, I will rebuke the devourer. I said I would do it. And so if God says he will do it, then it's on them to make sure that they do their part and prove God that he would do his part. See, when you and I tithe and give to the Lord Jesus Christ, we do it out of a heart of love because we love him, not because of a law, because they had a law. It's love on our part. And then the devourer is up to God to rebuke. I wonder how much that we have has elongated because God blessed our faithfulness. I wonder how much of what we have has not broken down or been depleted because of God's faithfulness to us because we have tithe. We will never know until we get to glory. God states his power will prevent the devourer from destroying their crops. It would be something similar to this. Come here, Joshua. This is the crop field. This is the would-be devourer. And every time the devourer would try to get to my crops, God says, I will prevent them. Reach for them. I'll rebuke them. I'll rebuke them. Get back. But if you stop tithing, go for it. Now you don't have a whole lot to tithe, do you? Now you don't have a whole lot to live off of. He ate half your crops there. Right, might as well eat the rest now. Yeah. Now there's not even anything to glean from. But God says, if you do, I promise I will rebuke the devourer. I'll keep him at bay. How much of what we have didn't break down this year or didn't get destroyed or we were wise enough to make ends meet because God rebuked the devourer and said, It's going to last. It's going to last. You're going to have enough. Amen. I will rebuke the devourer. Did God say, I will? He said, I will. Then if God says, I will, it's God's word. The only thing that I have to do then is bring the tithe. And God says, bring ye all the tithe in the storehouse, verse number 10, that may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, he would say, Lord, notice this, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer, that's my promise, for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. He says, that's what I will do for you. The devourer may be an unexpected medical or dental bill, maybe a car breakdown, a household item, a clothing item, whatever it is, the principle about God's program of stewardship is clear. If you do your part, I'll do mine. Folks, the tithe is very simple. God gives and we give back to him. It's simple. He could have asked for it all back. He could have asked for 50% of it back. He could have asked for 90% of it back. But God didn't. The more you give, the more God blesses. You can't outgive God. The Bible says in the New Testament, give, and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give in your bosom. The one of the things about the tithe is that God will never be your debtor. Was God going to eat the tithe? No, but God said, there's a purpose I have for it. It is for the ministry of the house of God, and we'll look at that tonight, the duty of the tithe. But no matter how small the local church is, it's God's job to bless the finances. Always has been, always had, always will be. It is not what you and I do. It's what God does. And God says, hey, look, Israel, I'll bless or I'll curse. Let's be blessed. Amen. I don't know about you, but if you're not tithing, start tithing. If you're not consistently and correctly tithing, start tithing. If you are tithing, continue correctly and consistently tithing. If you're not born again, you need to be concerned about having the Lord Jesus Christ forgive you of your sins. That's before you even tithe. God doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. And if he has your heart, he'll have what belongs to him. So if you're not saved today, I invite you. The relationship is still sailing. And everyone in here needs to be in that personal relationship with Christ. Preacher, how do I get in that relationship? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Repent of your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection for you. And receive him today. Get in a relationship. Preacher, what if I don't get in a relationship? And there's a place called hell waiting for you that God does not want for you. The Bible says it's prepared for the devil and his angels. That everlasting fire is for the devil. It's not for you. For God so loved the world that he gave. And he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is where it all starts. And if I'm in the relationship, I don't have a problem with stewardship because I love God. And that's the least I can do is give back to him who gave so much for me. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're looking around. If you're not born again, God doesn't want your money, he wants you. And you need to be saved today. The Bible is clear, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible is also clear that whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord should be saved. And once you're saved, out of a heart of gratitude, God wants to bless you when you tithe. Father, thank you so much for the morning. Lord, I've tried to be as practical as I can with the practice of the tithe. Lord, I pray that we would understand it's something that we paid and we owe, not something that we give, because it's something that you want us to do. Lord, it's not so much for you as it is for us to prove you to us so that we can see that you're worthy and you're capable of handling our financial status. And Lord, help each one here to continue the practice of the tithe consistently, correctly. And Lord, help them to continue to do it cheerfully as well. But Lord, there may be one here today that's not saved, that needs to be saved. I pray for that man, woman, boy, or girl, you speak to them in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. How many would say, preacher, today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm 100% sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I know that because I've asked Jesus Christ to save me, and you'd raise your hand just a testimony to the Almighty God. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Amen. Hands going up all over. You may put them down. If you couldn't raise your hand, let God speak to your heart. We have people standing by that can show you from the Word of God, that can help you understand what it means to be born again, and you can start that relationship because that's the first thing that God wants from you. And during the invitation time, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved during the invitation time. Father, bless now these next moments that we have. We may be cheerful givers, consistent, correctly, week after week, proving you with the tithe. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. As Miss Natasha plays, maybe God spoke in your heart. Maybe about the tithe, maybe about something totally different. Why don't you come down to an old-fashioned altar? Maybe you need to just thank God for blessing your finances over the recent years. Maybe you need to just thank Him for allowing you to be a cheerful giver. Maybe you need to come and say, can I be shown what it means to be born again? I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, and I'd like to be sure. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Maybe you just want to say, God, thank you for being faithful to me year in and year out, day in and day out. Whatever it is God's laid upon your heart, would you come? Would you come? God loves a cheerful giver, but we ought to understand the process of tithe. Our relationship starts off first. If you're not born again, God wants you to be saved. Are you saved today? If not, won't you come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved? Jesus Christ can be your Lord. He can be your Savior today. If there's any doubt in your mind, let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. But then once you're in that relationship with Christ, He wants you to be baptized. Are you baptized today? Say, preacher, I'm in a relationship with Christ. I know I'm born again, but I've never been baptized. Why don't you surrender for baptism today? Let us tell you what you need to do to be baptized. And we can do that. Let God speak to your heart today. Whatever it is that God wants you to do, would you do it? Stewardship, giving back to God what God's already given to us. He's given us the strength. He's given us the ability. Now He's just asking us to give a portion back to Him. He said, prove me now herewith, saith Lord of hosts. I will not open you the windows of heaven. I can do it. I can do it. Oh, would you join the faithful that have consistently and correctly given week after week, and God has blessed them abundantly. He's rebuked the devourer for their sakes. Only trust Him now. What is it that God would have you to do today? Our Father, we thank you so much for your mercy towards us. Thank you for the many blessings. Thank you for rebuking the devourer in my own personal life. And Lord, only in heaven will I know the things that could have gone wrong. But Lord, I sure see the blessings now. I'm blessed abundantly. Lord, although I don't have all the things I want, I have all the things that I need. And I'm sure most of your people here today could attest to the fact they may not have everything they want, but they have everything that they need. And Lord, help us to be consistent givers. And Lord, help us to be cheerful givers. And as our relationship with you improves and blossoms and blooms more and more, we'll understand more and more how faithful you want us to be and how consistent you want us to be and how cheerful you want us to be. And God, help us to never try to give out of law, because the law was for Israel. You want us to give because we love you. And Lord, help us to give from that heart of love and gratitude that Jesus Christ gave all for us. The least we can do is give back to Him who loved us so. Lord, we're indebted eternally to Jesus Christ, and help us to make sure that we perform the practice of the tithe, Lord, not so much for the dividends, but there are dividends there, but just because we love you. And Lord, help us to do what we do. Ours is a service of love and gratitude to Almighty God. And thank you for the many privileges that you give as a result, and the rebuking that you do, and the promise that you gave. I will rebuke, you said. Our job is just to bring. And Lord, help us to be cheerful givers consistently over and again. If there's one today without Jesus Christ, help that man, woman, boy, or girl check their own hearts and help them to say, I need to be born again. And help them to talk to us, Lord, at the conclusion of this service. Thank you for loving us today. Meet our need. And Lord, bring us back tonight again as we talk about the duty of the tithe in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor White's got our closing announcements. Let us know what's going on. Amen. So, Pastor White, you come. Biggest announcement is for Tuesday. Make sure you're here. Tuesday, not Wednesday.